And what about Nick Nolte? What's he like?
Oh, he's a character.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, we were talking about New York, and he's like, yeah, I got my star in New York. You know, that's my Nolte impression.
It's very good. Very good. That's my Cookie Monster.
Anyway. He's like, yeah, I studied under Grotowski, and you have to have a secret and an object. So for the whole run of the play, I stuck a cork up my ass. That was my secret and my object.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. No,
that cork's been in there 50 years.
Yeah. And then it was Mother's Day, and I was talking on the phone to my mom, and Nolte sits down next to me. He's like, oh, you talking to your mama? And I was like, yeah. He's like, happy Mother's Day. And I was like, oh, would you mind telling her that yourself? I know that's obnoxious, but it's Nolte, right?
Sure, yeah.
So he's like, okay, yeah. So I give him the phone, and he's like, happy Mother's Day. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, you take care now. And he handed the phone back to me, and I was like, okay, bye, Mom, love you. And I hung up the phone, and he looks at me, he's like, your mama thinks I'm Gary Buse.
Raise your glass, Natonio.
Like, officially?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know we said we're doing it in a week, but fuck, pal. Summer's dead.
Oh, we're cheersing to summer being dead already?
We're not cheersing. It's pour out a little liquor, like, you know, we hardly knew ye.
Now, is it officially on the calendar that the summer is done, or are you saying there's some sort of, like, bad weather on our forecast coming up?
Oh, I just feel it in my bones, really.
Feeling it in your bones?
You know?
I was taking a little nighttime stroll before we started doing this, and I was getting some October vibes. That's generally October's around the time when I do these nighttime strolls, and I was like, we're almost there. I'm starting to want to watch horror movies. I'm starting to feel that. I think you're right.
You're getting that
it's creeping in.
Fall feeling when you breathe the air in outside. You know, you smell it.
Mm-hmm.
It hangs.
Yeah.
It's there.
Jack-o'-lanterns. Squashes.
Yep.
I'm smelling squashes everywhere I go.
Cornucopias.
Cornucopias, I think, are squashes that are full of jack-o'-lanterns. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on fall, just an enthusiast.
It just seems like as soon as it was here, it was gone, you know?
I spent a good amount of time out on my back porch this summer.
Okay.
But no real, like, big summertime extravaganzas. No, like, weekends at the beach, Jaws style, or anything going on like that. I feel like maybe...
didn't even get to the beach at all this year.
Yeah, maybe I wasted the summer a little bit this year. Maybe I should have been out there in nature a little bit more, but, you know...
Nature.
Life's been chaotic. I got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, that's what Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park.
Which dinosaur did he play in that?
I'm trying to place them.
I know I've heard the name.
All of them?
I'm not entirely certain.
Like that little guy in Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah, he's good.
We're talking actors and acting because it's Baby Oil and Blow.
Okay.
And that's what we do. We talk movies here.
Yeah, this is
action
our intro.
Action ones in particular.
Action movies. It's an extravaganza, you usually say. Is it still an extravaganza this week?
Action extravaganza.
Okay, good.
Still
to know.
Is.
Good. Thank God.
There's still two hosts.
I didn't want to think we got downgraded.
No. There's still two hosts. There's me, Matt O.
Yeah. That checks out.
And then.
Hot on the mic.
You, the J. Riemann Schneider to my Joe Pepitone.
Oh,
you are Nate Adams.
That's a lot of funny words to say right there. Yeah. Ahoy, hoy. Who are those guys that you were saying? Riemann Schneider?
J. Riemann Schneider.
That sounds like a made-up name.
And my friend J. Riemann Schneider, he eats horse all the time.
Yeah, okay.
He gets it from his butcher.
Now it's ringing a bell.
And Joe Pepitone.
Definitely made-up names.
Do you know my friend Bob Sacamano?
Oh, the guy from Jersey.
Yeah, he just got a job at a condom factory in Edison. Look at this. He gave me a gross. Look at that.
With all of them.
Oh, well. Come on, take some, Jerry. Grab them.
No, thanks. They look like they came out of a cereal box.
Hey, come on, Elaine. Here, take half a bag.
This week, we're capping off the end of our John Milius extravaganza. What is best in life? The masculine philosophies of John Milius. We've got one more movie that he's involved in here. We got a story by credit here. So,
no,
apparently this tale was all floating around in his head, from what I understand.
That
Let's
makes
get into
sense.
The rundown here.
Having seen it, It makes sense.
The rundown this week's brought to us by Larry the Scary Rex, the best ride at Dinosaur World.
Oh,
because I got a little PSA out there. Motherfucking Clifford has been added to Amazon Prime, motherfuckers.
Oh,
so
man.
Anybody who wants to watch one of the weirdest movies that came out in the 1990s.
And one of the best movies to come out in the
1990s. Any Charles Grodin fans out there?
And you tell Sarah that you and I are the best of friends.
And we are, aren't we?
Shut up. But if you even look at me funny, if you do one thing that I find weird, which is, you know, like your middle name. See, you're doing it right now. Can you just act like a human boy for 1 minute here? Look at me like a person. You can't do it for more than a few seconds. Look at me like a human boy.
Look at you.
Any
you
out
can't
there
even do it.
Love yourself some Mary Steenburgen.
Oh.
I need you to get out there, fire up that Amazon Prime.
Any
knock
of
out
you
this recommendation of the week
that are fans
get weirded out by Martin Short's tour de force performance.
Anybody that's a fan of Stefan the Dinosaur.
And Clifford. This rundown is of 1987's Extreme Prejudice, which had a runtime of a cool 104 minutes. Not so bad. Not going to complain about that.
No.
It had a budget somewhere around $22 million. This thing was in development for a while. It's hard to say what was actually spent on it, but somewhere around there. $11 million domestic gross on this, so that's a huge failure, Matt.
Oh.
We're watching a bomb right here.
Oh.
This movie was a fucking bomb.
Oh.
You got Walter Hill as our director. This guy... You got him paired back up. We'll get to the stars, but paired back up with Nick Nolte, his star of 48 Hours. That movie was a huge success. You got to think they really...
movie did well.
They were expecting this thing to cook and nothing. As we said, John Milius is one of the writers. I think there's four credited, but you can tell that most of this is coming out of his particular weird brain.
Is this a... This is before another 48 hours, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because we got a Walter Hill timeline going here. If you go back, we did a whole month of Walter Hill movies. We'll be doing another month, the second half of his career later on.
Uh-huh.
Another 48 hours is probably going to pop up in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's 88.
As we said, Nolte is starring in this movie as well as Jack Benteen. He's a by-the-book Texas Ranger, very grizzled. Maybe another 48 hours is what they had to do in order to make up for all the money that was lost on this one. Like, sorry about that. We'll give you a sequel. Opposite Nick Nolte in this movie is Powers Booth, who is playing Cash Bailey. He's a drug runner who used to the childhood friend of Jack Benteen, and now they are at odds, Matt.
Oh, jeez.
Friendship torn asunder.
Oh, gosh.
We've seen Powers Booth in Red Dawn previously.
Asunder.
He's a Baby Oil and Blow friend of the show at this point.
Oh, he's a good dude.
Good dude.
He's a real good dude. He's
another chick we talked about, Maria Conchita Alonso. She's playing Sarita, the woman in between these two former friends.
Oh, baby.
They both boned her down at several points in their life.
Baby,
she kind of just bounces back and forth between the two of them.
Sarita,
We saw her previously in our Running Man episode, if you go back in the archives.
That's her?
Oh, hell yeah.
Huh.
Hell yeah. Michael Ironside, he's playing Major Paul Hackett.
He from Turbo Kid.
Leads a suicide squad of mercenaries who get plopped down in the middle of this movie about two former friends to turn it into a different kind of movie and some sort of weird fucking John Milius idea. Only he could get away with back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Fucking Top Gun, Total Recall, and a little movie I like to call Major Pain. Ironside's playing a dickhead in all of them. He's a go-to dickhead, Matt. You want a good dickhead in your movie?
He in Turbo Kid.
You go get Michael Ironside. He is also in Turbo Kid, playing a dickhead.
Yeah, but he's got that cool henchman with like the metal mask and the buzzsaw.
That's
arm.
Very true. Just killing little kids.
Turbo Kid's a really cool movie. If you ain't seen that, you should see that too.
There's a lot more smaller roles in here that deserve mentioning because this is such a fine ensemble cast. We've got Rip Torn playing Sheriff Hank Pearson. He's a Nolte's old-timer, just like sort of mentor, partner going on out there. Texas.
You can't understand half of what he's saying.
Recently deceased, rest in peace, Rip Torn. William Forsythe is a quick-talking member of Zombie Unit, that team of mercenaries.
Buck.
John Goodman's brother in Raising Arizona. He's
Flat Top.
Clancy Brown, also another member of
Flat Top and Dick Tracy.
Zombie Unit.
Not Clancy Brown. William Forsythe.
He's the guy who gets fucked up in Pet Sematary 2 and comes back as the creepy zombie guy. He's real fun to look at.
Zombie cop.
Tagline of this movie. Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds. Whatever his name is. Also in this movie.
Yeah.
Also as a badass mercenary.
Yeah.
An army of forgotten heroes, all officially dead. They live for combat. Now they've met the wrong man. Plot synopsis here. Dig into it a little deeper. When they were kids, Texas Ranger Jack Benteen used to be friends with drug kingpin Cash Bailey. That's a cool fucking name. Mm-hmm. At present, however, the only element linking them together is Jack's girlfriend, Sarita, who used to be with Cash.
Yeah.
She returns to Cash as a voluntary hostage to make certain that Jack keeps his hands off the drug lord's operation. On top of that, there is a meticulously planned drug bust in which both Jack and Cash butt heads with CIA-funded paramilitary major Paul Hackett following his own agenda.
It's a lot going on there, huh?
There at the end, but also this plot kind of falls apart. So I'm not gonna poo-poo this plot synopsis too much. Let's transition out of the rundown into our next segment, which is bullet points.
Pew, pew.
We go through our notes and we talk about all the different things.
Bullet points
that shot out at us as we were watching this fine film.
Zap.
Matt, I've never really talked to you about Extreme Prejudice before. This isn't one of these things where we're just rehashing old conversations we've had. So
we are not.
Let's get into this. What is your first impressions of Extreme Prejudice?
William Forsythe's pretty fucking cool.
Opening of the movie.
Yeah.
It's just kind of an A-team styled opening. We're getting like detailed reports on all these guys who are being introduced, typed out on the screen. Then we get like a little vignette of them just harassing women in an airport.
This is how we meet all of our characters.
Just men harassing women in airports. And just like, this is who you're going to be dealing with.
Chomping on a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
how you doing there, girl? How you doing, hon? Sure looking pretty. You look Italian. You Italian, ma'am? How you doing, cowgirl? I buy you an ice cream cone?
Excuse me.
Come on, baby, I'm buying pralines and cream for everybody, girl. Hey, don't get insulted. As long as I got a face, you got a place to sit.
This is like sort of, isn't really a scene proper. This is sort of just like shit playing over the opening credits.
Right.
We're easing into the movie. Our first proper scene is we got Nick Nolte. We're introduced to him as our no-nonsense Texas Ranger. Going into a fucking rowdy Texas honky-tonk with his old man friend Rip Torn.
Yeah.
They both got shotguns, and they just find the biggest, fattest guy in the bar, and they're just like, everybody shut the fuck up. We're pulling you out of here. We're going to arrest you. Put these cuffs on. And this is a Texas honky-tonk, Matt. So if you've ever seen a movie before, Texans in a Texas honky-tonk don't take kindly to be told what to do. They don't take kindly to outsiders. They sure as shit don't take kindly to the law.
Mm-mm.
So this ends bad.
Yeah, these are some bad hombres, Nate. Some bad, bad hombres.
Is that a Trump thing?
I don't know, probably.
Okay. I didn't know if that's what we were doing.
I don't think he would validate the Hispanic language by using one of their actual words.
Oh, no, he was definitely calling people who cross the border bad hombres there for a while.
Was he?
Yeah, it was a word he kept saying. Oh, it was pretty cool. One of the cooler things Trump's done as president.
This movie, I feel like Trump got a lot of his platforms from watching
this film.
There's
definitely a lot of border shit going on here.
Yeah,
a lot of problems going on. If you don't secure that border,
the trucks are going to come in, my man.
I want to build the wall. We need the wall. The Border Patrol, ICE, they all want the wall. We stop the drugs. We shore up the border. One of my first acts will be to get all of the drug lords, all of the bad ones. We have some bad, bad people in this country that have to go out. We're going to get them out. We're going to secure the border. And once the border is secured, at a later date, we'll make a determination as to the rest. But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
What this first scene does, though, is just establish that, like, hey, settle back. Don't worry. You're going to love watching this fucking movie because instantly people's chests are getting shotgunned and exploded. A dude tries to run away and Rip Torn just butts his face with the end of his shotgun. And
blood
the
explodes face everywhere.
Explodes.
Yeah.
And just a shower of blood. And then we get like cool shit where like Nolte and Torrin are just doing like no look shotgun tosses to each other. Just like snatch them out of the air. Just like these guys have thrown shotguns to each other a million times before. Totally yeah. in control of the room. Total badasses. We've established these fucking Texas Rangers. I mean, they're not as cool as Walker. They're not doing roundhouse kicks or anything, but they're nothing to mess with right here.
Over the years, we've shown many great Walker clips, but only one is truly the greatest. All the fans seem to agree. Let's do this thing.
And how you doing, little brother?
Fine. And it's a little visitor now. Adewoyoli is how you say it in Cherokee.
Oh, well, pardon my French, but I'll be damned.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Well, Nolte's a ranger, and yeah. Rip Torrance is sheriff buddy.
I don't really know how this cop shit works in Texas. What the fuck is it even is a Texas ranger?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? They're cool,
though.
I'll tell you that much.
Team.
They walk around with cool, like, old-timey Old West badges, usually, in movies, at least.
Yeah. I don't know if they're supposed to be, like, the U.S. Marshals or what.
That was the sequel
relation.
To The Fugitive. That's the only way I know what that is.
The U.S. Marshals, they'd always come into the jail, and they always looked pretty cool.
All of my knowledge of law enforcement comes from 1980s action films, so...
Okay. Well, if you're going strictly off dress, like what looks cool,
that's right.
You probably want to be a U.S. Marshal these days because they dress really cool.
Well, that's what I want to be then.
Yeah. You know,
finally, I got my future figured out.
So, you know. But Rip Torn, man, he just, I don't know. I couldn't understand half of what he was saying because of his thick Texas accent in this. And then just chomping on that cigar the whole time.
Then usually he's trading dialogue with Nolte, whose voice is just grizzled and gravelly enough anyways. You can't tell half of what he's saying.
You know, usually you could reason with a drunk, kids on loco weed, or a couple that was fighting. You could cool them down. Next day they'd thank you for it. Not now, boy. They get wired to stay wired. Smack, snort, pill-popping dopes. Take them Luke boys, one that drew on you, and his brother Chubb, running with scum. Christ, I used to fish with their dad. They were sweet kids, not mad dogs like they turned out to be trying to bite you.
You know, Hank, the next thing you're going to be complaining about the state legislature making women rangers, you know that.
Hell, I don't care, as long as she's 6'6", mean as a snake. State legislature, shit, Jack! Only thing worse than a politician is a child molester.
And then in our next scene, we get one of the best character introductions ever when Powers Booth's Cash Bailey shows up. Yeah. And he's got a weird, gravelly voice usually. And he's also just laying other thicker, denser layers onto his accent in here. So
putting some Texan
this
on
is
it.
Just accent fucking palooza here. Everybody is just one-upping each other on who can put the craziest fucking Southern hillbilly draw on everything they do.
And you know what? They're doing it well.
Oh, yeah.
No one sounds bad at it. Sounds very natural, and it's fun to listen to.
Yeah, I believe every one of these guys is just being some asshole who you could come across if you were ever in Texas, who would just do asshole things and ruin your day.
Yeah. Let's talk about Powers Booth real
quick. I want
to, since you brought him
up. Because I think this is peak Powers Booth in this movie. I think this is the coolest he's ever fucking been.
Yeah, he's pretty badass. Like,
he's wearing an all-white suit, head to toe, the whole movie, with like a fucking white cowboy hat.
He's just Pablo Escobar.
When we meet him, he's just like looking grizzled, and he picks up a fucking scorpion with his bare hand and just dramatically crushes the scorpion in his hand.
Because he's nuts. They have to, you know, relate that to you. The guy's nuts.
Yeah. He's a fucking badass, and he's drunk the whole movie.
Well, that's true.
Which is just adding a whole nother layer to it.
Yeah, that's something you and I can relate to. We respect that.
And Nick Nolte, he's playing a real straight-laced, by-the-book, mustachioed cop here. Kind of just a stuffed shirt, just like very taciturn guy. Powers Booth is just sleazy and decadent, the ultimate fucking like drug-running bad guy. How could these guys have been best friends in high school? What were they doing every day? We hear that they were on the football team, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe that explains it. Most of the time they were just doing fucking football shit. But these guys are like oil and water. I can't see them like hanging out and having a good time. Booth would be bored to shit with Nolte.
I'm really glad. Well, Powers Booth explains later. Like, you used to be funny.
Okay.
You know, you lost your edge somewhere.
Whereas I've gotten funnier over the years.
From what I gather, they were both in Nam together.
Oh, there's some Nam elements going on. Yeah, because
they're like, we went down the river together, which I assume is a Nam reference.
I just assumed it was like the Apocalypse Rio Grande. Now,
you know. We went and saw Rio Grande together.
I thought they were just at the border trying to shoot anybody trying to get over illegally. That's what they did as a...
Could have been that,
little,
too.
Yeah, a little hobby of theirs and whatever they 12 were at football
practice.
12-year-old
Texas boys, that's what they do.
Absolutely. But yeah, this is the era where every single character in a movie is going to be a Vietnam veteran, so that fucking tracks for sure. Like, from the early 80s up here to probably like 87, it's just like 90% of the movies you're watching, like if it's action-based at all, somebody in here is an unhinged
somebody
Vietnam vet.
Came back from,
or like somebody
from
meets like a buddy, and you find out they knew each other from Nam. Yeah. I'm walking through all of Magnum P.I. right here. Of course, all these main characters were buddies in Vietnam. Yeah. And my favorite Magnum fucking episodes are when you get those flashback episodes where they have to do like a D-budget, very tiny like TV show like version of a war movie set in the fucking South Pacific. It's always good shit. It always looks super, super janky.
Powers Booth. He's cool. He's badass. He's killing it here. He might really be drunk and or on cocaine in this film. I'm not certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, man, I love this guy.
I'm going to say right now he's the MVP of Baby Oil and Blow. I think he's knocked it out of the park.
He's slowly been killing
so
it.
So much. Just he's going to be the new patron saint.
Yeah, he's definitely making his way there, so shout out.
I got a bullet point in here where I want to address.
I wanted to say real quick, though, because we were talking about stuffy Nick Nolte.
That's right, yeah.
I'm really glad they casted Nick Nolte in this role,
because
he's supposed to be, like, gruff, tough, like...
That's right.
This guy will punch you in the nose.
And Nick Nolte will.
And I could see them putting, like, a Kevin Costner in this role, and Costner just doing that boring Costner talk where he's like,
I hate me some Kevin Costner.
I'm a Texas Ranger. Kevin Costner, I'm a tough guy. And it'd be one of those things where it's like, I don't think you are tough, Kevin Costner.
This is probably, like, Field of Dreams era Costner right around here, 87, right?
I think that might have been
crying over
later.
His dead dad. That's much better Kevin Costner material for me right there. The look of this film, though, the only copy I can find anywhere is very low res. It's just a very shitty scan from just what I assume is an old VHS, which I hear was a very low quality VHS scan to begin with. Like, even if
it was a Betamax,
even if you had like a pristine, never been played VHS copy of it, like, the fucking transfer was shitty. Everybody's done a really bad job with this movie.
If there was a Betamax, it'd be clear
I think there's
as
like
day.
A Scandinavian Blu-ray or something.
Ooh.
Just like an obscenely like a small market country is the only place where there's a Blu-ray copy. So it looks like shit. Any way you're watching this in this day and age.
It's gritty VHS.
It's gritty VHS. But I think it kind of works.
It lends
for this
to
1987
movie.
Thing. It kind of made me feel like it's an artifact I'm looking at. Like I'm back in 1987 watching it, and everything's like sun-bleached Texas fucking vibes. So like, I think it just sort of adds to that bleached out look, and I don't really mind how crappy, you know, the version of this you can see.
Well, while we're on that, the look, let's bring up one of the most important points.
Okay.
This movie might be the sweatiest movie we've covered.
Certainly in the third act, things escalate to the point. We go down to old Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody is dripping with sweat. And it's really, like, you get it here in the beginning, but it's an escalation throughout the movie. Like, as these people interact more, as we realize what despicable assholes they are, as they just get sleazier and just more macho and idiotic in their behaviors, they also just get sweatier and sweatier.
Ugh.
It's like Milius and Hill are just like cranking up the heat on you as you watch this thing.
Dripping sweat.
Sweating it out more
Everybody's
and more as you go in.
Middle of their backs on their shirts are just a lake.
By the end of this movie, Nick Nolte's back sweat stain is just so gross.
It's brown.
It looks like
he
can shit. out of the back of his neck.
Yeah, it looks like he had
an anus
diarrhea
on the back of his neck.
Out of the back of his
neck. And he just shits out of it. How much booze was in that man's system that he just had a deep brown sweat stain going in his shirt by the end of this movie?
Yeah.
It's really like his gross sweat stain, I think, kind of one-ups the consistently degrading tank top in Die Hard for just sheer grossness.
Oh, yeah. Like, the Die Hard one makes sense, at least.
Mm-hmm.
He's crawling through vents. He's getting shot.
That's right.
He's this. He's that. It's, you know, it's part of the story.
Here it's just like Nick Nolte's a disgusting man. Yeah, like, I assure you.
Nolte, you need to go to a doctor.
Most of what's inside of him is bourbon. He's sweating brown right now.
It's like bourbon and like five Slim Jims.
Wait, have you been reading my food diary?
Mm-hmm.
Did you break into my phone and get into my food diary? How did you know bourbon and five Slim Jims?
I hacked you.
My next bullet point I wanted to bring up is that boobs make everything better.
Well, yeah.
Because if there's one thing I can complain about in this movie, it's the love triangle that gets set up between Powers Booth and Maria Conchita Alonso and Nick Nolte. It doesn't really need to happen.
No.
Nolte, Booth, former friends, now they're doing jobs that are totally at odds with each other and they're gonna have to like clash in some way.
Right.
That's enough of a conflict between them right there.
Sure.
Unless you're gonna do something real with this like woman in the middle of things shit, it's no good. And they don't. They half-ass it. There's no reason for her character to exist, really. But when she's established and when we first start seeing the dynamic of her and Nolte's relationship, she's a nagger. He won't open up because he's so gruff and closed off.
Mm-hmm.
They do us the great favor of setting the scene in the bathroom. She's showering.
Mm-hmm.
Her titties are out the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
This spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, Matt.
Absolutely.
It's making this tough pill so much easier to swallow. I think this is by design. Very, very smart.
Yeah. My only complaint is there was a perfect opportunity for them to give us some butt shot as well.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
they did it.
They do get a towel on her pretty quickly. But,
yeah, but she just like haphazardly drapes it over her breasts, clearly not covering the back.
That's right.
And they even like pull back. But
I'm
like,
still in there, yeah.
They cut it like at her half.
She's giving me just enough so I'm peeking in
they
there.
They cut it off.
I'm like, what are we going to see?
Pull that out a little
still
more.
Still some more in there I can see.
See that butt.
And I'm looking very close.
See that butt.
Seeing if anything else slips.
Like, you know,
get a pervy glimpse of anything else going on in
the
here.
Boobs, what's, you know.
Before I know it.
Slip her another $500.
The scene's over. And I don't even got to worry about sitting through boring relationship dialogue.
Because
I was totally engaged with fucking Oogle and this woman the whole time.
Well, plus, Nick Nolte already established. You don't want to talk about that shit.
That's right. Yeah, this is where we establish.
Ain't nothing
like,
to say.
Women want to talk. Men don't want to talk. These two, they're not going to work out together.
Our mom says our dad's a real sex machine.
This is when she starts fucking needling him too. Like, you know that I used to fuck Powers Booth. Like, I could just go start fucking Powers Booth.
Yeah, she does just kind of like drop that.
She just like hits that like, real quickly. Nolte doesn't like it. I think rightly so.
She's like, he used to dick me down good. I wouldn't mind going back to that.
Yeah, but as we find out, she would mind because that doesn't work out either. Because all these people are miserable people.
Yeah.
They will never be happy.
Right.
Being around each other is just going to make them more miserable because they're just going to keep clashing. None of these people are going to have healthy relationships. They all need to just get out of this Texas town, man.
So while
they
this
need to get away from each other.
While all this is going on, our army group from the very beginning
film,
they start casing a bank.
Yeah.
And the sheriff's department, the ranger's department, or whatever
the
department is.
We've got two completely separate movies just developing on different tracks right next to each other, parallel to each other. It's fucking weird. There's a weird-ass structure to this fucking movie, but I kind of like it. I like how it goes back and forth.
I kept watching it being like trying to put together how it was going to be put together. You know what I'm saying? Like, all
right. That's right.
So these guys are going to like rob the bank. That's going to fuck with Powers Booth's money. Powers Booth's going to be mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Nolte's going to have to lay down the law for everybody.
That's
like,
right.
Is that how it's all going to tie down? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
It doesn't
just
really do
it for the boobs and the bullets.
Didn't really do any of that.
No, it's just an excuse to get a bunch of macho dudes on the screen. And like, all we need is just them to run into each other and some excuses for them to get in gunfights.
And they plan this really big precision Point Break style bank robbery.
They faked the deaths of all these former army guys. They've made them disappear. They've gone underground. And now they're just going to rob this bank because Michael Ironside's like, this is where Powers Booth has all of his money. He's got shit in fucking lockboxes that have records that could really embarrass the U.S. government. Something's going on with his operation down in old Mexico that the government's involved in.
Mexico.
It's all fucking dirty. So it's these guys' job to get in, get this shit out, make it fucking disappear. But you know, they're doing it in Nolte's turf. He's the fucking Texas Ranger in these parts.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to fucking clash. The next big clash we get, though, is between Rip Torn and old Nick Nolte at a gas station with some of the goons, some of Powers Booth's goons.
Well, they killed TC at the honky-tonk.
Big fat guy.
And now, turns out TC's brother, Chubbs.
Not to be confused with Fatso.
No.
That was
that's a different movie.
Yeah, that was a different movie we've covered.
Fatso was a cop.
Oh, God.
Chubbs is the drummer from the
K&B Construction Band.
K&B Construction
from
Band.
From Home Improvement.
Pete! That would be me. One, two, three.
And he's pissed that they killed his brother.
It's time for some retribution. We got to do a gas station shootout, my man.
Yeah, buddy. So Nick Nolte's like, I'm going to get the drop on them from the back door because they're probably angry.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out they had the drop on Nolte. They were waiting for him outside the back door. Mm-hmm. It was an ambush, you see.
Things go south. Rip Torn gets his chest shotgunned open.
Yeah, Rip Torn tries to save Nick Nolte.
Blood fucking everywhere. And nobody in this entire movie gets shot once and then dies.
Yeah.
Every time somebody gets shot, they get at least like a dozen bullets put in them. Like RoboCop opening style. Everyone is getting blown the fuck away.
This seems to be a Milius thing where you get shot like 8 times before you like lay down and die.
Other than Dirty Harry, because he says he specifically gave him large caliber gun because he wanted to do a little different, where
that's
he's got a guy that only shoots once.
That's fair.
I think this is more of a Walter Hill thing, where just...
Oh, that could be.
Like, think about the Long Riders.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I'm thinking of. Yes, thank you.
Everybody just got blown to pieces in that one.
That's definitely...
Shit he's stealing from Peckinpah, really, where just, like, gun violence is going to be presented as violently as possible, just as bloody and as brutal. There's going to be no fun escapist shit about it. When you see somebody get blown away, it's brutal. Joke's on you. I still think it's escapist and fun, more so than anything.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the gore, brother.
A lot of fun. So they shoot down Rip Torn.
And this is where Nolte gets unhinged, and he's just like unloading entire clips into guys who are already dead. But he's not like emoting. Like all of his fucking anger is sizzling underneath his skin. He's doing like a smoldering thing in this movie where you can just tell there's just violent rage boiling inside of him at all times. And he's just always desperately trying to keep it in check. Keep that stoic stone face going on.
Yeah.
Oh man, this guy's going to snap at some point and it's going to be ugly.
He's doing some really cool like shooting and like tactical reloading, which makes me think that either they sent him to like a real gun training class, because I think by this point
Milius just had meticulous instructions written into the script.
I was gonna say, or there's that as well.
This is kind of not the standard, but I've also blocked the scene inside of the script directions.
It was either in the late 70s or early 80s, I want to say. There was some high up special forces insane dude that just started doing like a shooting instruction class.
Just like, I'm gonna take all you fucking roided out, coked out assholes in Hollywood. Like,
right, you want to learn how to shoot a gun?
I just saw Commando and it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Let's start putting some gun realism in these movies.
And like Nick Nolte, he looks like he had handled a piece before when he's lighting everybody up there. But like you said, that could also just be John Milius, like, this is how you shoot a gun, son.
After this, after Rip Torn dies, Nolte's got a lot of rage in him. He's going to want to get a lot of revenge. And this is the bad scene here, because once again, we get a scene with him and Maria Conchita Alonso. And she's like, we need to talk about this. You need to talk about your feelings. And during this scene, her boobs are not out. They're just like fully clothed. And like, he's basically saying the same things I'm thinking. He's just like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to do something about it. Like, how many times do I have to tell you that we're not going to talk? I'm not going to talk. Quit trying to talk to me. And it's like, well, I don't know. You guys are in like a permanent, like living together relationship. It's kind of a silly request to say that you don't want to have conversations.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever. I get what you're saying. Women are always prying, trying to like be like, oh, what are we sort of? And it's like, woman, I'm a man. You're looking for emotions that aren't there.
Just not there.
You're looking for like, you know, swirling thoughts that aren't existing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like boobs and football and toilet flushes.
Propane.
I am Al Bundy.
What's the difference between men and women?
One works, and the other's woman.
I guess this is where she finally decides, like, he won't talk? Finally, I'm going to go down to old Mexico and start fucking Powers Booth.
Powers Booth.
He'll see.
Loves to talk.
So there's a bit of a plot development there, so we get that out of the way, but still. Throw some boobs in the background or something if you're going to make me sit through these dialogue scenes.
And we're still just not getting enough Powers Booth.
No, but we do get the big... I think we transition into the big bank robbing scene where Ironside and
everything's set up.
Crew of losers. Their big plan is they're going to cut the phone lines so nobody can communicate in the town. They're going to create a gigantic explosion offsite so everybody goes there and nobody's paying attention to what's going on at the
Plus,
bank.
Plus, that's just cool.
And then, yeah, you get to explode an entire building with just like some fucking high-grade ordnance.
You got $20 million.
It's a big fireball.
You
got to
spend it somewhere.
They really obliterate this fucking building. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then as everybody's occupied with that, they're going to roll right into this bank, fucking easy peasy Japanesey, steal all the illegal drug money Powers Booth's fucking laundering through it, steal back these mysterious books that have some sort of incriminating crap on it.
Yeah.
But shit goes snafu, man. Things do not go to plan. Shit goes down where old William Forsythe and his buddy...
Buck and Coker.
They get their car stuck.
Yeah.
So that their part of the plan's fucked up as they're trying to get their... car out of the desert.
Well, you know what they say, Nate. Heaven is a truck that got stuck in the mud.
The timing of this thing goes crazy. Fucking some shooting starts happening. I think we lose a guy.
They lose Luther.
Fry goes down. Is he the big black dude?
Yeah, he's the big black dude.
Oh yeah, so he's dead now. All we've got is Lamar. Diversity in this film now because Luther, the only other fucking black guy, is down.
So he's dead. What do they do? They meet back.
Michael Ironside's got a panty on his head.
Yeah.
And he's got
his lips curled up.
Like you can. His whole mouth's open.
I'm Michael Ironside.
Like you do to like your hound dog to take like funny Instagram pictures or something. He looks full on ridiculous during this whole scene.
He sure does.
That's fucking. It's funny as shit. I'm digging it.
It's good that it's fun to look at. So they run. They gotta cheese it because it's the fuzz.
Yeah.
They're like oh shit, man.
Nolte ends up with a couple of these dudes in prison.
Yeah.
He's got them.
He snatches Buck and Coker. Yeah.
So we got questions here because he's looking into these guys. He's finding out that they're all supposed to be dead. He's got questions of what's going on. Weird ordinances coming from out of Canada that these guys are using. Something's not adding up. These aren't just a bunch of local yokels robbing a bank like they're pretending like they are.
Oh, also, Michael Ironside's been coming to the police department every once in a while pretending to be a DEA agent.
And this is where Ironside's got to be like, look, I'll level with you, man. We're both trying to fucking take out Cash Bailey here. Yeah. Powers Booth. We should probably team up or something.
Bro, like you got me. I'm not really DEA.
It's a national security thing. But what's cool is, I know you're probably mad I've been lying to you, but what's cool is we're about to just take a bus down to Mexico and just fucking whack Powers Booth.
Yeah.
Just like straight up whack him. So if you want to drive along with us, like that'd be cool. We should do that.
You just got to let my dudes out of jail.
You want to go kill Powers Booth with me? So Nolte's like, hell yeah, I want to kill Powers Booth. Fucking... let's get these guys out of jail and go down there.
He took my lady.
And
that's by Nick Nolte.
You know, there's a lot of setup. There's a lot of characters. But this just turns into a pretty simple fucking third act here where it's just like, we're in Mexico. there's a big, awesome, like, I think it's Mexican Independence Day celebration going on.
Yeah.
So they're in this town that's basically, like, owned by Powers Booth. Like, he's in charge of everything. Right. He's got all his cartel guys around with machine guns everywhere. There's huge crowds of drunken people. There's fireworks going off everywhere. It's clearly, like, 150 degrees. At this point, everyone's just dripping with fucking sweat.
Yeah, here
we are.
This is where we're at, Sweatapalooza here.
And, like, they make a deal with Nolte where they're just like, all right, man, we're going to give you a half an hour to go in there and do whatever you want with Powers Booth, your former friend, who's now shacked up with your fucking current lady. But then after that half hour, we're coming in guns a-blazing. This is going to be a fucking bloodbath, man. We got a ticking clock element.
Nolte's
going into a big confrontation.
Nolte's like, all right, that's cool with me. I can work with that. And so he goes to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other guys in this platoon thing, they're that's all right. like, hey, Nick Nolte, good dude.
Yeah.
You know what? Nick Nolte is good dude.
And Michael Ironside's like, I hear what you're saying, but I've always got to be the biggest fucking dickhead in a movie. So, like,
we're going to.
No, he sucks. Yeah, we're going to kill him. Like,
he's got to die.
As soon as you get in there, we're not giving him a half an hour. We're giving him 15 minutes. And before he expects us to be there, we're showing up. And you shoot him, too. We're killing him. We're killing Powers Booth.
Yeah.
We're probably going to kill like a couple hundred just like Mexican women and children for no reason.
Correct.
It seemed like the way it was going.
I like that everybody's like, oh, you know, Nick Nolte, good dude. Nick Nolte, good dude. And he's like, we're going to kill Nick Nolte. And then Clancy, instead of just, he's never like, he good dude. He just says matter-of-factly, like, we're United States soldiers. We're doing a mission for the United States. And we're going to kill a peace officer of the United States that upholds the Constitution.
Official legal thing that we're doing. Yeah. And suddenly we're doing things that don't sound so legal. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty weird.
That's the first time you're like, well, hey now, what's the rub here?
And it's like, yo, fucking Clancy Brown, like, how dumb are you? If you had to, like, fake your death and be disappeared, be completely off the books, how do you think what you're doing is legal in any sort of way? There's some shady shit going on here. Plus, your boss is Michael Ironside, who's famously the biggest dick in the world.
But that's how he looked himself in the mirror every morning, Nate, was because he could still stand on his morals.
You're fooling yourself if you believe it.
Now he's like, I don't know what to believe. Ironside's just like, well, that's the way it is.
What we get here, though, is my favorite fucking shit in the movie, where Nolte just shows up, like, lone gunman style in this town, and Powers Booth's like, my old friend, it had to come to this. We're going to have a big fucking confrontation.
My amigo.
So why don't you come into my bar and hang out? We'll figure out how this is going to go. We're just going to have like a 15-minute dick measuring contest.
And then we'll try and shoot each other.
So we just got Nolte and Booth chewing scenery at each other, just puffing their chests out, trying to see who could be more macho, like who could be more intimidating. Yeah. They're fucking doing shots of whiskey and shit. Booth's doing that thing where he's being like real congenial and friendly, but then like still somehow everything he says sounds like a threat.
it's a Cy Tolliver bit.
That's right, yeah.
It's everything
it's
he does in Deadwood.
Pure fucking Cy Tolliver here. Maria Conchita Alonso is at the table with them, and she's just like, knows that this is fucked and shit's gonna go bad.
Oh, I really wish I wasn't
here. She's just like
right
crying
now.
And like trying to climb inside of her fucking skin the whole time.
Yeah.
And I love fucking Powers Booth just like, all right, man, like I'm gonna run drugs. You're trying to stop me from running drugs. Like, what are we gonna do about this? Are we just gonna shoot each other? Like, fucking, why don't you just like look the other way? We can all get rich doing this.
Yeah.
Nolte's like, no, I do things by the book. So it comes down to they're literally going to have to just shoot each other. So they try to have an old-timey Wild West shootout.
I'm going to give you a real good chance, Jack, just because we used to be amigos. Back to back, count off 10 paces, and then we both start blazing away. Blast each other into the land of glory. May the best man win. And keep Sarita. It's all right, honey. You've come this far with two old friends. You might as well see them finish it up. We're just playing out the string. Lupo la pistola.
Estás jefe.
Yeah. Hola tequila.
Come up, Cash.
Show us some tit if you want to be useful. Give us some motivation.
This is after Powers Booth shoots a dude in the head just to, like, make things more uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and everybody's just like,
know.
Oh, God, we just saw a guy get blown away.
Yeah.
And then it's uncomfortable silence until he's like, start the fucking music up or I'll start shooting the band.
Yeah.
So then the band starts going again.
Yeah.
And then everybody's got to try to, like, act like they're having fun. And then Powers Booth just starts bear pawn cocaine directly
yep.
up into his nostrils.
Oh, that's a great
snorting
scene.
It up, just fucking.
And it's such a pro move. Like,
cocaine
that's not,
on his chest.
It's not like a
sweat
stupid
on his
like
chest.
Straw Hollywood.
No. He does
like,
a two finger snoot. Cocaine.
He like, yeah, he licks his two fingers. I'm like, why is he licking his fingers? And then he like dabs cocaine off the screen and then brings it back to his nose. And you're like, oh, that's a he's
visibly
really used that
fucking
move.
Drunk at this point.
Yeah,
they've all but just like calmly been like, well, we're about to have a shootout with each other.
Yeah.
Like, he's completely insane.
But,
and Nolte, supposed to be the good guy of this movie, is just doing things the same way. He's also completely insane. Everyone in this movie is just an asshole who won't bend. So because they're all just fucking complete animals, everyone's going to have to die.
Yeah.
That's just how it's going to have to
when
be.
When Nick Nolte goes to get his drink, though, William Forsythe makes his way into
yeah,
the building because
so
the army guys
Nolte excuses himself
right.
with the tequila excuse.
The army guys have started to infiltrate the manor there, but Forsythe goes to the bar, talks to Nolte.
You know, I've been like the loudmouth, braggadocious,
yeah.
calling everybody the F word over and over again.
Oh yeah,
just fucking asshole in this movie.
Yeah.
But you know, that's kind of just an act I do. I'm
yeah.
gonna lay things straight with you here, Nolte. We're going to fucking kill you, and I wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, so here's
it's a
chance.
Good guy move from what previously was, like, the biggest fucking loudest asshole.
Yeah.
And that fucking scene where him and the other white guy during this fucking robbery where they get their cars stuck because they're driving like assholes, and
yeah.
he's just yelling the F word at him over and over
he's trying
and
to,
over
like,
again.
Do that, like, army tough guy, like, let's see what you got.
Uh-huh,
you can drive as
uh-huh.
fast as you can. And other dude's like not having it. He's like, I'm already doing that. Just shut the fuck
the
up.
The most egregious
and he's like, come on,
of the F word.
You fat fucking F-A-double-G-G.
Maybe
yeah,
in the 80s
like,
movie. And every 80s movie was egregiously abusing this word at this point.
Yeah.
They really go over the top with
yeah,
it.
It's
different times.
Forsythe uses
different
it
times.
Quite a few times. But anyways, so.
It felt authentic. I felt like I was in Texas.
Yeah. So he's like,
have
Nolte.
Been transported to Texas?
He's like, Nolte, you got to leave now. Here's your chance to live. And Nolte's like, live, die, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Nobody cares. Everyone's
yeah.
miserable in this movie. And there's no, like, brass ring to try to reach for to end that misery. There's no end to misery in this world.
So
this world of Texas,
old Sarita makes it clear, like, hey, Powers Booth, you're crazy too. Like, I can't be with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Powers Booth's like, all right, fuck it. Let's go slap steel then.
That's
Nick
right.
Nolte. This is it.
Sex is eternal. That's a good girl. No change, no Sarita. You tear off a piece there, you always get me.
You bastard!
Now we all cook it. Everybody ready?
Yeah! They're literally going to do a
it.
Countdown, a draw,
mm-hmm.
like high noon showdown. But before they can do it, fucking, there's a confrontation between Michael Ironside and Clancy Brown, where Clancy Brown finds out that Ironside's been working with Cash Bailey the
what?
Whole time. Fucking twist.
Double cross.
And the reason he wants
Triple
to get his
cross?
Hand on these books that are now here locked up in Mexico is because the
his
shit incriminates him.
Yeah.
So fucking, and this wasn't fucking put together by the U.S. government. This is all just Ironside. He's like, you fucking used us. You were planning on just taking us out during this. We're a fucking legit suicide squad.
Yeah.
Let's just pop it off. Let's just start fucking machine gunning everybody. So
yeah.
fucking Clancy Brown starts machine gunning everybody. Fucking, and it goes nuts in the middle of this fucking same bar where Nolte and fucking Booth were at each other's throat. And, you know, showdown interrupted. But at least now we have one of the biggest machine gun fights I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
Like I said, they've packed this fucking scenery with like thousands of extras.
Did you ever
like,
see...
Now everybody's just getting shotgunned and there's chaos. People running and screaming.
Did you ever see The Way of the Gun?
I think I
Benicio
saw that
del Toro
in the early
and Ryan
2000s,
Felipe.
But yeah. Not enough to really recall any fucking scenes from it.
They've got, towards the end of the movie, a little Mexican hotel shootout.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
similar
right.
to this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I feel like we're all trying to recreate the end of the Wild Bunch here.
Yeah.
And probably this movie and, I would say, Way of the Gun both have that idea going on in it. Just a big fucking crazy whole town shootout in Mexico, Wild Bunch style.
And that's what this is.
And this is Walter Hill, so you're getting fucking blood squibs upon blood squibs. It's glorious.
So in the midst of the shooting, Nolte's like, well, that interrupted our shootout. Me and Powers Booth, he's like, I'm just going to get old girl. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
His white suit is not looking good. It's
no.
real dirty, Matt.
It's very dirty.
It's real dirty. Any sort of putting on airs he had going on and being a classy, rich, fucking above it all. Thing.
Out the window.
It's out
here,
the window.
Pal.
He's the greasy, dirty criminal that he really is. His inside's now on his outside.
And that 5 o'clock shadow just keeps getting like darker
by the
and
second.
Darker. Yeah. Ugh. So Nolte's like, "Oh fuck it, I'm getting out of here," and you know, Powers Booth's like, "Hey, Pinocchio, where do you think you're going?"
That's right.
So he gets a Jeep full of Mexican hombres and a chase after
bad
him.
Bad hombres.
Yeah.
Trump was right.
Yeah.
If this movie's hombres. Anything to go by, there are a bunch of bad hombres down in Mexico.
I feel like, again, Trump's basing a lot of his foreign policy off of like this movie and a couple of other
it's
ones.
It's kind of surprising that Milius hasn't shown up in the White House yet as some sort of like advisor. Like.
What's the security, whatever the hell, whatever.
One of those. Yeah, defense?
Yeah, Secretary of Defense.
Bolton, you're out of here. We're bringing in Milius.
He's just walking around with a crossbow.
Him and Trump did a lot of blow together back in the 80s. It's time they were reunited.
Bro, you know they totally did.
Oh, at some point, their paths had to have crossed. There's no question.
He's the one... Trump's
right-wing
probably the one that
celebrities
showed
in the
Powers
1980s.
Booth that little two-finger salute. That
the height of Reaganism. Oh, yeah. Toot, toot. I can see that going on.
Toot, toot. Oh, man. So shootouts, bang, bang, bang. Everybody dies. Everybody dies, yeah.
This is basically what's going on in Donald Trump's head 24-7, this movie. Like, you want to peek into what's going on in his head? We're looking at it.
This is it. Everybody in the old zombie Bravo whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They all get iced.
They all get iced. It's down to Nolte and Booth again. And this is kind of just like, once again, we're a little bit getting the Apocalypse Now ending again, like we did with Conan last week, where it's just like the protagonist walks into this crazy, debaucherous, fucking like isolated cult situation where this one guy is just in charge of everything and he's gone completely nuts with power. And it's just like, instead of fighting all of his goons or whatever, I'm just going to walk right up to him and I'm just going to whack him and everybody's going to kind of let it happen.
Because
once again, we get right back into that old-timey, Old West just showdown. We're going to draw on each other.
Well, Powers Booth has several times been like, do it, let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like,
he's dying for it.
We're going to do this. You know, somebody count. And they're like, I don't want to count. And they're like, make the girl count. She doesn't want to count.
She's back there whimpering. She can't count.
Powers Booth's like, well, fuck it. I'll count. And he's like, psych. I'm just going to shoot your ass.
But Nolte's a faster draw, man. And he fucking shoots him right in his gun arm.
And he's like, bow, bow, bow.
So this is where Nolte gives him like his last like chance. He's like, we could take you home right now.
Yeah.
Just come home. It could be over. We could end this right now. Just come home with me.
What does he keep yelling at him? Like, call it off or something?
Something like that. But fucking Powers Booth's just like, I told you, I can't quit. I'm in too deep.
Yeah.
So then he just forces fucking Nolte to draw down on him again because he goes for his gun again. And Nolte fucking once again unloads his entire clip.
Correct.
Which is cool because we got to still... decently white head-to-toe suit going on, so it looks real good when the blood squibs explode all over it. Fucking old Powers Booth goes down in just a hail of gunfire.
Yeah.
So, opening of RoboCop style.
Old Nick Nolte's like, all right, we're going home, Mexican lady, you and I.
This is sort of like a little bit of a take off that The Graduate ending where the two people are put back together. Only in The Graduate, it's sort of like a questioning, like, ooh, now that we're back together, what's our future going to hold? Whereas here, it's like two people, it's just certainty. Like, oh, we're back together, they're and it's going to be miserable. Yeah. Like, we're just walking Nolte's directly not back change. Into misery.
It's going to be miserable.
What do you think is going to be fucking worse now that he's fucking blown away his only childhood friend?
Before they get out of there, though, like, Powers Booth's Mexican army dudes, like, main guy's like, hey, man, like, you ain't just leaving.
Like, I know we've just, like, set back and let you fucking kill our boss and shit, but yeah, now we're probably going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, we still got a lot more guns than you do, and we're probably going to kill you, you know, unless we make a deal.
Nolte talks turkey with him, though.
He does.
He lays it on fucking straight.
Yeah, and then they're like, you know, you let us, you know, you let one of my guys out of jail or you let somebody over the border and then we're straight and we're good.
Nolte doesn't make deals, though, man. He's by the book.
Nolte's
just
like, fuck you, man.
No.
You've got your deal.
If I'm going to gunfight everyone here, I'm going to gunfight everyone here. I'm not going to make some sort of fucking illegal deal. I'm a goddamn Texas Ranger.
He's like, you already got
your
deal.
I am a Walker Texas Ranger.
Yeah. He's like, you already got your deal. You get the white suit now.
And fucking,
I don't care what happens here in Mexico. I don't care about Tejas.
Sure. And this guy's like, yo, white people are crazy. We ain't working with y'all anymore.
He's like, we like money. And then
Trump's like, yeah, that's right. We used to work with them and it was a good deal. Like, fucking, I am in charge. I make a lot of money selling drugs. You just stay doing your own thing away from me and my white friends, but now you want to be in charge? Yeah. Now they're running their own cartel? We need to close those borders.
Close them down.
Close those borders. So once again, we get some big right-wing messaging here from John Milius, who's just like, there are hordes of Mexican gang members who want to pour drugs into this country, and we're just letting them.
And then the movie ends.
Then the movie ends.
That's it.
It's just a walk off into the sunset. But, you know, it's like the saddest walk off into the sunset ever. Because, you know, just all these Mexican cartel guys are just going to die eventually.
No one's
in this drug trade. Fucking Nolte and Maria Conchita Alonso are going to continue hating each other and just having a tense, miserable existence.
No one wins. Have a good day.
Have a good day. This has been Walter Hill and another hour and 45 minutes of misery. I love his work.
Well, what's
got a little more to
take
cover.
A little breaksy poop
here. We're Extreme Prejudice is gonna step into Judgment Day. Before that, you listen to some Coming Attractions.
Extreme,
take a
coming
breather
attractions.
Here, and then they're gonna get real extreme. Prepare yourself for Judgment Day. It's a thing we do.
On the coast of Southern California, you can only surf, party, and make love for so long before it's time to go to work.
Rock and roll!
27 banks in 3 years.
Everybody freeze!
Anything to catch the perfect wave.
I'm not a crook.
Patrick Swayze.
Fear causes hesitation. And hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true.
Keanu Reeves.
And you think I joined the FBI to learn to surf?
Point Break.
Adios, amigo!
My name's Smith. I'm her substitute.
Good morning, class. I'm in charge of this class.
You ever be sure, Mr. Whatever your name is?
Life's a chess game, Juan. This is a crucial move.
Who is it?
You are in the street.
I want you to say I'm sorry.
I'm not talking in the library. The Substitute, rated R, starts April 19th at theaters everywhere.
Judgment Day is when we look out on the internet to find what the internet has to feel about the movies that we've been talking about this whole time. It's just get a feel for how it was received. And I got to say, this movie's online reviews aren't the best online reviews here.
Oh.
I found the only one bullet review of Extreme Prejudice that's on the internet. The only one I could find on any of these sites, I got it in here. Most of the bad reviews are obsessed with how low quality any fucking copy of it is. So you're not getting a lot of people like chatting about the actual movie.
It's not the movie.
And then most of the five bullet reviews, you're getting like these just like guys, these like amateur film critic guys who are like writing out long, like detailed essays. Reviews where they like do plot synopsis and tell you the names of everybody involved. Like you got to do that on Amazon or something where all that information's right there. Like this review is getting published somewhere and you got to do all that heavy lifting. Like,
look, the only,
don't do that, people.
The only reason why our podcast is excusable at 90 minutes.
That's right.
Is because we're not talking about real shit half fucking time.
I've been paid to write film reviews, and that paragraph where you have to run down everybody involved, that paragraph where you have to do the plot synopsis, that's the most tedious part. Yeah. If you don't got to do it, don't do it. You guys aren't getting paid for this. What are you thinking out there?
We loosely talk about stuff and then just drink.
Yeah.
That's a great plan.
That's right. I was drunk when I was writing reviews, too, though.
Well...
So I found one unhinged five-bullet review.
It's because you're a functioning addict.
Which isn't just some asshole out there putting together his fucking resume trying to become a film critic, which isn't a job anymore. So we'll get into it. I got one bullet and one five-bullet. We'll see what the warring factions think about this movie, and then we'll decide where we are, where we land on this rating.
I'm in my position. I'm sitting back.
Okay, this one-bullet review.
Lay it on me.
It's a little bit lengthy. This is a one-bullet review from IMDb user UACW, some kind of acronym, don't know what it stands for.
I'll think about it.
He says, a typewriter hammers on a piece of typing paper. Are you watching A-Team? You make out very little of what is being typed, and that seems to be a metaphor for all that will come. A few characters are introduced, and by one, and you wonder if George Clooney will turn up at any minute. He was not going to turn up. This is not of that era.
Why would George Clooney be?
He's trying to do like an Ocean's 11 joke.
Did he mean George Peppard?
He probably meant George Peppard, which would have been cool if George Peppard showed up. Finally, you get to the opening credits. Nick Nolte bags the pole position, followed by William Forsythe, Clancy Smith, and he just lists everybody who's in the cast. Oh, while everything comes to a standstill, or rather you're watching an exciting sundown through a cloud cover, you might fall asleep at this point. We just got a new telly. We didn't buy it. We got it. 42-inch. Movie comes on, and this is it. And really, the only reason we watched was we couldn't figure out what it was about. That and the impressive cast. But the cast are wasted, and worrying what this turkey is about is only getting to net you what is netted us. 2 wasted hours and getting into the sack a bit too late. The plot is weak, and the acting, although professional, is not looking for drama or anything so lofty. This killer movie is meant to appeal to stupid people who think it's cool to be like Nick Nolte's character. Nolte acts the whole movie without a single facial expression. Nolte's been known to act, and he's doing what he's told here, and he's doing it well. It's just the movie makers want idiocy and little more.
He's an idiot.
Booth plays his character to a T. He's supposed to be the somewhat clumsy anti-hero who's going to get his just due in the end. Booth does it well, but that doesn't mean it will stimulate anyone with an IQ above 2. Even the action sequences are sloppy and poorly edited, and the special effects are really, really bad. Mario Casar, the artiste who brought you the world-acclaimed Rambo movies even before they hit Broadway. That's a period. That was one sentence. Walter Hill, the Warriors, 40, just runs through all of his fucking credits. You see his name at the beginning of the list of credits in the opening titles, and you know what you're getting. Guns kill. Violence is bad. It's never good. In general, it's better to be more intelligent than to be stupid. It's also nice to laugh once in a while. And it's nice to see good acting talent get material they can really use. And it would be even better with a director that wasn't so twisted. And even better with a world that didn't gloat on this crap. But crap like this sells. Or according to the IMDb, it sold 11 million worth of tickets. And that's good that it didn't do better. But it's still 11 million wasted. And that's something everyone should be extremely prejudiced against. One bullet from IMDb user UACW. How'd that treat you? Any arguments in there that pulling you over to his side? Maybe Extreme Prejudice is a one-bullet movie?
He said telly.
Well, yeah, so that stood out. That fucking stood
British
out. British. This is some fucking
cops
chav
don't even
out there.
Carry
fucking
guns.
Chav. Ugh. What
dork.
Do you know about gun violence? Nothing.
Yeah, you fucking loser.
If you were from America, you'd know
you're
that it's
fucking
cool.
Loser. You can't even buy a gun, you fucking loser.
So, okay, it doesn't sound like you were worn over by that review. Maybe the five bullet reviews could be more your speed. Maybe that's going to pull you towards giving this a solid rating. This five bullet review is from IMDb user Right Wing is Evil. All one word. Right Wing is Evil.
But he likes this movie?
He says, the best of years. This is when Nick Nolte, Powers Booth, and Michael Ironside were at their prime. Just over 40. All full-grown men, and their acting performances were also matured like wine. This movie was adapted from a very powerful co-authored paperback novel, then so nicely adapted into a screenplay, then again got a very good director and top-notch production team. The final production, of course, logically, turned out to be a powerhouse movie. The tension, the plot twists, the betrayals, the bullshitting patriotism and the self-righteous personal selfish gain, the blind follow order discipline, the born hostile, the drug cartel, the kingpin, the tough like nail Texas Ranger. Wow, this was a very dangerous movie full of dynamites and bullets. I don't think Booth did a better job after this movie. He, like Ironside, turned into a B-movie actor. Only Nolte continued to survive and prosperous in the big screen movies. This movie also reminded me of the later No Country for Old Man and some of the other similar ones focus movies, such as Lone Wolf McQuaid, franchised by Chuck Norris in the early 80s. Lone Wolf McQuaid and Old Country for Old Men, basically the same thing. The exact same fucking movies.
Same movie.
Now the border between Mexico and those four U.S. states is changing. The situation also rapidly changed and deteriorating. There are 15 feet high great wall-like steel walls separated these two countries. There are several U.S.-Mexico border crossing customs. Illegal aliens and drug smugglers playing cat and mouse games on a 24/7, 365 basis. U.S. Border Patrol's got new electronic devices and even predators cruising in the sky. The whole scene and the game plan now have changed into a totally different scenario. This movie also urged me to rewatch the five episodes Border War produced by the National Geography. But I'd say that I like the movies better than the documentary films. Five bullets from IMDb user Right Wing is Evil.
While Nick Nolte was in fact in his 40s.
Uh-huh.
Powers Booth was 38.
Oh, man.
Michael Ironside was 36.
He had a lot of booze bloat going on in those fucking Powers Booth jowls.
Nate.
Uh-huh.
Ironside was my age.
Well, you know, he didn't look so bad except that he was like bald real early. So I think maybe he had that Arn Anderson thing going on where he was perennially like
he looked like he could have been my 38-year-old man.
Cool. Dad bods are in.
Powers Booth, though, he's just
great. Right Wing is Evil. I think maybe the worst Russian bot ever. Doesn't even know who he's trolling here.
Yeah.
What was that shit about the border at the end?
Yeah,
I don't know what he was trying to get across.
Bro, you from
whose
the Kremlin?
Whose side is he on?
You're supposed to be friends with Trump.
Can't tell whose side he's
on. I don't
know.
It's just like this movie. You don't know who's on whose
side. Whose side are you on, Matt? Are you on UAMC or whatever? Or Right Wing is Evil? What are your final thoughts? What is your bullet rating of Extreme Prejudice?
There is a lot of story trying to go on in this movie.
Oh, boy, is there.
Maybe they would have benefited if it was a little longer.
Maybe a little shorter.
If it was a little shorter. Now, I'm confused because clearly you and I both watched an hour and 44 minute version of this.
Mm-hmm.
But IMDb says it's an hour 36.
So
did we get extended scenes? Like,
there's different cuts floating out around there. I've heard a lot of complaining like, oh, I got this VHS and it's got this scene cut off. But then I got this VH release and it's got that scene cut
off. It's the hard target dilemma.
So, yeah, it's the hard target dilemma. They chop this shit up. You don't know you're watching. You don't know what cut you're getting.
Either way, would it have benefited more if they would have fleshed out some of the stuff? Would it have been better if they would have just eliminated
some of
things?
This stuff.
Who's to say?
I'll say it. It probably would have been better either way. I'll say that right now.
The thing is, this movie really doesn't need the story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
These actors that are assembled in this film are fucking crushing it.
All you just need is them jawing at each other. It doesn't matter what they're jawing about.
Every one of these guys is just fucking top of their game. And to credit, old girl that played Sarita.
Maria Conchita Alonso.
That's fine. I'm never going to remember that name. She's also crushing it.
Yeah, she's doing a she's good great. Job.
Everybody does
pretty
a good job.
Thankless role of just playing the miserable woman.
Anytime.
He gets no fucking agency whatsoever. But whatever.
Even if the character's one-dimensional like Nick Nolte.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he talks, anytime he does something, you're drawn in.
There's a lot going on inside his brain.
The whole,
everything's internal with his performance.
That British twit that was like, he didn't even move his face once.
Yeah.
Correct.
Cunt. British cunt.
He wasn't supposed to.
It's called minimalist acting. Some people like it.
He's giving you some fucking Clint Eastwood here, you know?
You know, he's all internal. Powers Booth is letting it all hang out.
Right.
Like,
that's
have
what
the
makes
yin to the
Booth
yang.
So good.
The back and forth here.
The whole little ragtag army gang that's pulling crimes.
They're
William
interplay.
Forsythe.
They're bantering.
Is Whew. Amazing. Clancy Brown, like,
probably my favorite.
How's that dude not in more movies?
He should have been in a lot more things.
These guys killed it.
Also, like I was telling you a couple days ago, I was in an elevator with him once in Toronto.
Yeah.
He's got great elevator etiquette. Yeah. It was very pleasant taking that four fucking level ride with him.
Just look forward and pretend we're not in here together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we did.
Be a gentleman about
it. Like men.
I often stand with my back to the door and face the elevator.
Ooh, that's a power move right there.
Well, it's from all my time in the jail. I can't shake it.
Yeah.
It's stuck now. This movie shouldn't be as good as it is for a lot of reasons, as we discussed, mostly the story.
Yeah.
But goddamn if I wasn't entertained. I'm giving it better than good. I'm giving it 3.5
Three and
bullets.
1.5 bullets.
Just because the actors... They're so damn fun in it.
Fucking A.
So damn fun.
Kind of got similar thoughts about this. Basically, this movie pleases me like nothing else because I could watch Powers Booth and Nick Nolte bowing up to each other, just being jackass fucking men trying to top each other for hours. Just for hours.
It's big dick in it.
I could watch Walter Hill violence just over the top fucking machine gunning and shotgunning for fucking hours. So I love this shit. It's very weird how the two movies seem to be completely different movies.
Yes.
And they're crammed together. The fucking ragtag team of guys in a mission that shouldn't exist could be all its own movie. The two fucking former friends on the opposite of the law could be its own movie. Would they be better if they were both separated and you can get more of a focus on those things? Maybe. But it's a lot of fun just to slam them together and watch everybody have to shoot each other. I have a great time watching this movie. I think it's one of the most underrated movies of the 1980s. I always love it, other than the fucking love triangle shit. But that's adds to some of that awkwardness in the end. Yeah. So even that's not bad. And there's only really one scene where I get annoyed.
Pays
where
out
I'm like,
at the end.
We just had a huge shoot up and a rip-torn death. Why are we talking about relationship stuff right now?
Yeah.
So I fucking love this. This might be... Maybe not my favorite Walter Hill movie, but it's in the top three. I'm going solid 4 bullets all the way. I think this is a slam bang good ass film.
That's strong. I don't think you're necessarily wrong for that.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there, hot taking it.
I was a little more Nick Nolte reserved. You were a little more Powers Booth loose with it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, and you're allowed to.
We're really going to be putting it out there again next week, Matt, because... In honor of the end of summer, which we've declared this week, it's done. It's Labor Day week. It's going to be the last hurrah. We're doing one final big beach bonfire where we're going to be talking about one of the best action movies ever made. We'll put our cards on the table here, right here. There's no
we're not
fucking suspense here.
We're not
do we like Point
flex
Break or
on
not?
You.
Big question.
It's a mystery.
It's fucking Point Break. We're going to watch it. Fucking Swayze. Keanu together, Tank Girl, fucking
Tank
get pumped.
Girl.
Get pumped
Any
for Tank
movie
Girl.
That's got the gravitas, the fucking balls to be like, hey, Tank Girl.
That's right.
She's our sexy lead in this. Right.
Get your eyes all over her 12-year-old boy body.
Like, I'll give a little
we
credit.
Made a movie about the beach, and this is the only female fucking oogling you're gonna get
like,
to do through the whole thing.
A League of Their Own kind of was like, she's kind of cute, right? But this was a movie that also had Madonna in it.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, and Rosie O'Donnell.
That,
right. So,
Headline
but
eye
no,
Rosie.
No, Point Break was like. check out this little sex spot.
Wow.
Real quick, because we never do it, and we fucking should, because some people do listen to this. Where can they find us? Where can they get a hold of us? The Instagrams, Baby Oil and Blow.
It's all Baby Oil and Blow. Babyoilandblow.com.
Email
and shit. Instagram.
Do we have
Baby Oil and Blow Twitter?
Is Baby Oil
feedback
and
Blow. At babyoilandblow.com. Check it all out.
Send us some shit besides Tom Rock. Let us know what you
Give
think.
Give us a good rating on iTunes. That's what podcast hosts always say.
You want to?
They say it every episode. Talk your fucking ear off about it.
Tell us we're idiots. It's fine. Send it to us. We'll read that.
I don't know if I could take that.
I love that shit.
Downward spiral.
Love all that shit. Yeah, but hey,
direct all your hatred
do.
At Matt.
That's fine. I'm strong. I can take it.
We're doing lots of fun Instagram stuff with these movies we watch.
You need to be
pulling
checking
out lots
out.
Of images.
Just wait. I mean, fuck, man. Point Break. What else you need?
Yeah, we're gonna be doing silly shit. It's gonna be all silly shit.
I get silly with it on Baby Oil and Blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. And every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind can break your heart. It's so use a friend where